We've been going through God's instruction regarding the corrections that were needed for the Corinthian church because of their background in immorality and the culture in which they lived, which was such a difficult place for the saints to live sanctified, godly lives, particularly with regard to their sexuality. There was a paganization of society. They were living in a pagan society. And we look at our own culture today, and it's certainly becoming paganized. The divorce is rampant. We look at the transformation that's taken place over, I can speak to 60 years. I can remember it was a rare occasion in an elementary school that a child would not be still living with both birth parents. And now in this day, such a change has taken place that a child living with both birth parents seemingly is more and more a rare occasion. And God then speaks to His people to nurture and encourage and to direct us in knowing how to live before Him. And here we have before us in the portion that we're going to read in just a moment, guidelines for believers with marital problems. Guidelines for believers with marital problems. Listen to these words from our text, which is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning at verse 10. Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whither you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whither you will save your wife? What we see here then are two general categories of instruction that the Lord gives us for believers with marital problems. The first is addressing believers with believers in a marriage who are struggling. The second is addressing a believer who finds him or herself in a marriage with an unbeliever. Two very important bits of counsel, not only to Corinthian saints so many centuries ago, but for saints today as well. What is the Lord's instruction? What does He teach believers with regard to marriage? And so we look first then at that section that addresses believers married to believers in a marriage with problems. God makes it very clear in His Word. For the Lord God of Israel says, He hates divorce. He hates divorce. And it's out of this heart of God where God is saying, no, He wants us to be covenant-keeping people. He wants us to retain in covenant. He's a God who remembers covenant for a thousand generations. And he speaks to his people and he says, I want you likewise to be covenant-keeping people. And so he gives a moral command through the Apostle Paul here. It's really an extension of his command, you shall not commit adultery. What does he say? Now to the married I command, not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. And even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. There's a moral command here. And it is spoken in a pastoral way. The danger that you and I have is that we would come to this passage like the Pharisees who came to Jesus. Is it all right to get a divorce in any circumstance? And they were trying to set him up because they knew the heart of the people that day, just like the heart of the people today is struggling when you're in a marital situation where you're unhappy and you want to get out. And the Lord says, I hate divorce. And he says, therefore, a husband is not to send his wife away, and a wife is not to depart, or the word there means to be alienated from her husband. We mustn't look at the scriptures legalistically. Actually, I think there's a tendency when we read the words as they're translated here in the New King James, divorce, we tend to look at it legalistically, like, you know, when can you get a divorce and when can't you? And you say, that's not at all the spirit of this passage. It's a pastoral passage. It's saying God sees the married couple struggle in the relationship and he's giving them direction. And he's not talking about divorce in a legal context so much as he's saying, this is the action I don't want you to take. I don't want husbands to send their wives away and I don't want wives to leave. And the word there, the root word, comes from a word, I'm getting tongue-tied here. The word depart from comes from a root word, which is a noun. It's a word for country. It has the concept of going to a far-off place, to go away from. And this alienation of whether it's a husband or wife going away from each other, God's saying, don't do it! Let's not have this kind of legalistic attitude. Our attitude should not be, what does God's word require of us? But our attitude should be, what is contained in this thought that God is expressing to us that we might somehow live up to this wonderful standard he set? Let me illustrate this by the Westminster Divines' interpretation of the seventh commandment. The seventh commandment, what is it? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, the legalistic mind would very carefully try to define what that is. But listen to how the Westminster Divines defined this. You say, how do they get all this out of there? Listen. It's the larger catechism, question 139. What are the sins forbidden in the seventh commandment? The sins forbidden in the seventh commandment, besides the neglect of the duties required, are adultery, fornication, rape, incense, sodomy, and all unnatural lusts. All unclean imaginations, thoughts, purposes, and affections. All corrupt or filthy communications or listening thereunto. Unwanton looks, imprudent or light behavior, immodest apparel, prohibiting of lawful and dispensing of unlawful marriages, allowing and tolerating and keeping stews. And I better stop with that one. What's a stew? You're keeping up a fight all the time? You're bickering and fighting all the time, keeping everything, the pot stirred up? Allowing, tolerating, keeping of stews and resorting to them, going back, you know, you're going to drive it home. Entangling vows of single life. Undue delay of marriage. Having more wives or husbands than wanted at the same time. Unjust divorce or desertion. Idleness, gluttony, drunkenness, unchaste company. Lascivious songs, books, pictures, dancing, stage plays, and all other provocations to or acts of uncleanness, either in ourselves or others. How in the world did they get that out of that little phrase, thou shalt not commit adultery? It's out of a heart hungering to be pleasing to God. It's saying, what's implicit here? It's not legalism of the Pharisees. Oh, we got, you know, 150 new laws we've added. No, they're simply saying what is being conveyed by the Lord when he says, don't commit adultery. And so Paul is reiterating in that same spirit to the saints when they're struggling in this marriage conflict that they're dealing with. And he's saying, the Lord doesn't want you to depart from your husband. Husbands, you're not to send your wives away. And then he even goes in there, you see, and speaks of the situation where a wife has actually gone away in verse 11. But even if she does depart, and Paul, without saying it exactly that way, he's essentially doing what Jesus addresses in our New Testament text when he says, God gave divorce through Moses because of the hardness of people's hearts. And he's addressing a situation where a wife has gone away from her husband. It's a fact. It's already happened. And he's saying, okay, now what do we do? God didn't intend for it to be that way. Now, he's speaking in a context of this woman didn't have a biblical cause for divorce. The husband did not have a biblical cause for sending her away. And he's saying, okay, what's going to happen? When you have blown up in a fight with your spouse and you split, what are you going to do about it? It's already a fact. And he says, remain unmarried. To those who have departed. You see, verse 11, but even if she does depart, if she does what God does not want her to do, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. You see, there's two stipulations here. For those who have separated, the first one is remain unmarried. Unmarried. Remain unmarried. You see, what constitutes a biblical divorce? That's the issue. And there are a couple passages that Jesus addresses this in. In Matthew 19, which we've read, he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced, commits adultery. This is the Lord still speaking to our culture, as fallen as we have become in this area. And he's saying, yes, because of hardness, this has gone on. But what is God's intent? The two should be one. What God has put together, let no man put asunder. So Paul is addressing those who've left their spouses. It's out of a pastoral concern. He's wanting them to understand God's standard. Divorce is not acceptable, even though it's acceptable in the culture. There's only one cause for which a Christian couple, and let me stipulate, a Christian couple, there's only one cause for which a Christian couple can pursue divorce, and that's if one of them has committed adultery. Now, I'm going to say, and I'm jumping ahead just because I don't want you to wander the wrong way with it, we're going to come to a situation where a believer is married to an unbeliever. And there's another stipulation there. There's one, an exception that's there where divorce might be pursued. But for believers, there is no allowance for divorce unless there's been adultery. And even in that case, God does not say you must get a divorce, but God allows for divorce. We see another passage of Scripture where the Lord Jesus is addressing in His Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 32. The Lord says this, "But I say to you, that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality and causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery." You see, in the two different places where Jesus addresses, one, He's addressing the man who's intending to marry somebody else and gets rid of his wife. And He's addressing a situation where a man is just upset with his wife and he wants to get rid of her. And He's saying both of them are wrong. And it's very important that we don't distort what Jesus is saying. The Scriptures admonish us to be diligent as people who will have to give an account to the Lord for how we divide the word of truth. And so it's important that when we see these exception clauses, we don't misinterpret them or take them out at times. Let me illustrate it in this way. For example, a parent may tell a child that he will take him to the store if he's home from his friend's house by 5 o'clock. There's a promise there, isn't there? I'll take you to the store if you're home by 5 o'clock. The child returns home from his friends at sometime after 5, whether it's 5:15 or 5:30 or 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. And he says, "I want to go to the store. You promised me you'd take me to the store." But there was an exception clause, wasn't there? If you are home by 5 o'clock. You see, we need to look at the exception clauses of Scripture because they define further how we're to understand God stating, "I hate divorce." Don't put away your husband or put away your wife. There are some exceptions. And we need to consider those. And we can't go into all the different things regarding marital conflict. You say, "Well, my husband beat me. My wife was continually maligning me and causing all kinds of problems," and so on. We can't go into those today. And what you see is that neither Paul nor the Lord Jesus in the comments, he doesn't address all those situations. That would be a whole other matter of study and presentation, that we would look for God's will in those circumstances. But you see, the major problem is we're in a condition now where people get divorces for almost any reason, which is the very thing that the Pharisees were asking Jesus. And the problem is when you get into a legalistic mode, you're only trying to focus on when can we get out of doing things God's way. And God's saying, yes, there are a couple exceptions, but they are exceptions. And they are intended to be rare exceptions. But they're becoming the supposed norm. And so the Lord is trying to teach us, instruct us through this. And it's really important that we not misunderstand what the Lord has said to us through the Apostle Paul here. If you look at verse 11 again, you'll see it says, "But even if she departs, let her remain unmarried." There is a tendency within the church to say there is three categories. You can be married, you can be divorced, or you can be separated. Because it says here, let her remain unmarried. But when you look through the rest of the scriptures, and it's expressing the will and desire of God, there's really no biblical warrant for legal separation. That comes when there's a legal mindset. We've got a problem, we don't want to live together, and we don't want to reconcile to each other, so we'll just, we'll not sin by divorcing and remarrying, we'll just divorce and not remarry. You read this, and surely it's not the Spirit of the Lord saying there is a new legal category for you to escape your problem. Now, what's he saying? He's saying that we are not to see this as separation. Calvin, I think, can help me here explain to you the attitude that's being expressed. Calvin says, "But as husbands frequently divorce their wives, either because their manners were not congenial, or because their personal appearance did not please them, or because of some offense, and as wives too sometimes desert their husbands on account of their cruelty and excessive harsh and dishonorable treatment," he says that marriage is not dissolved, does not dissolve divorces and dissensions of this nature. I've miswritten it. So I'm going to have to just tell you and paraphrase. He's saying that unbiblical divorces do not dissolve marriages. There's no separation. He goes on to say, "But as to his commanding the wife who's separated from her husband, let her remain unmarried, he does not mean by this that separation is allowable, nor does he give permission to the wife to live apart from her husband. But if she has been expelled from the house or has been put away, she must not think that even in that case, she is set free from his power. For it is not in the power of a husband to dissolve marriage. He does not therefore give permission for wives to withdraw of their own accord from their husbands or to live away from their husband's establishment as if in a state of widowhood, but declares that even those who are not received by their husbands continue to be bound so that they cannot take other husbands." Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying, really, if you look at this passage and you see the pastoral concern and the love that Paul is trying to express to the saints, he's saying you can't just say, okay, oh, somehow we're going to read in here, legal separation is a new found escape from an unhappy marriage. Because what's the intent? You are not to remarry. You're to remain unmarried and be reconciled to your spouse. And the word for reconciliation there is a root word that means to change in such a fashion as you become agreeable to. Why do we get into all these conflicts? You start a little argument and neither will give up, and they keep bickering back and forth, and it grows and it grows and it grows, and finally they don't want to have anything to do with each other. And the Lord's saying, you need to be reconciled. There needs to be a change that brings you into accord with the other person. There needs to be reconciliation. And that's the counsel that's given here. He's not just saying, go off with your bitterness and live apart from this spouse that you find so despicable. Where do you see that in Scripture? It's not there. And so we're called to be reconciled when there is an ungodly response where we just blow up and we go our own ways and we're separated from each other. And he's saying, bring it back together again. Bring it back together again. But then we come to the second area, the second major area that he addresses here, and that's believers with an unbelieving wife or husband, an unbelieving spouse. And what's his counsel here? Do not divorce or send away an unbelieving spouse who is willing to live with you. Isn't this an outgrowth of God saying, I hate divorce? Now, there's a problem here because a lot of times we get caught up with Paul's statement where he says that, let me find my way to the scripture here. Verse 12, but to the rest, I, not the Lord. And immediately everybody who's struggling with this matter says, look, this isn't the Lord saying this. This is Paul saying it. It's just one of those funny quirks of Paul. I don't have to listen to it. Was that what's going on? See, we need some clarification here, don't we? What are we taught about the Scriptures? The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 at verse 20 and 21 says, by the inspiration of the Spirit, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, the Apostle Peter goes on in this same epistle in chapter 3 at verse 15 to say, our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of Scriptures. Do you hear what I'm saying? You making the connection? All Scripture is not a private interpretation, but it's given by the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Peter is saying, in all of Paul's epistles, they are to be understood as Scripture. And so when we come to this, say, not I, but not the Lord say, what do you do with this? Calvin has a good suggestion for helping us to understand what's being said here. Calvin suggests that Paul is seeking to differentiate between what he has derived from reading the Old Testament Scriptures and what the Holy Spirit has given to him. You follow what I'm saying? And certain things he's instructing here, he's drawing from the Old Testament commandments. Where God, thus says the Lord. And his saying, I say, not the Lord, he's saying here, it's not my personal interpretation, but it's what the Spirit has revealed through me to you. It's not something you can go back and find in the Old Testament. Because actually, if you went back to the Old Testament, you'd almost disagree with Paul here. Because you see, during the time of Nehemiah, they put away their unbelieving wives. They got rid of their unbelieving spouses as an act of perceived godliness. And the Apostle Paul is here advocating in what he's about ready to share, that a believer is to stay with an unbelieving spouse who's willing to live with you. And so we must then understand that the Lord is speaking here through Paul. In the same way that Jesus in Matthew 19 says, "But Moses said to you," a lot of people say, "Well, Moses allowed for divorce." Well, Jesus is not saying, well, you know, when the divorce laws came out in the Old Testament, those were just Moses' ideas. God didn't say it. No. Deuteronomy 24, which gives some stipulations for divorced people, was given by God through Moses to his people. And what Paul is saying to us regarding Christians married to unbelievers is from the Lord just as surely as Moses wrote to the Old Testament saint. So then, with that clarification, we look at what the stipulation is, and what is Paul saying regarding believers married to an unbelieving spouse. And you can already begin to picture the tensions growing because you have different focus. The Christian wants to live for the Lord. The unbeliever wants to live for himself and the pleasures of this world. And there's oftentimes going to be conflicts that will arise in a marriage. And this is what oftentimes is not perceived when Christians foolishly go out and become unequally yoked with unbelievers. "Oh, I love him so much. They're such wonderful. Well, he's such a wonderful guy. She's such a wonderful girl." And you get married and you say, "Oh, the Lord's going to change him." Presumption. If the Lord changed so many, you'd be seeing today that Christian marriage are distinctly different from unbelievers' marriages. But the sad thing is, almost as many, percentage-wise, almost as many Christian marriages today are ending up in divorce as unbelievers' marriages. Now, some of that is affected, though, by the fact, statistically, that many unbelievers don't even bother to marry today. So, at any rate, the Lord is speaking then to this context where a believer's beginning to realize, I really messed up. I became unequally yoked with an unbeliever, and I just need to get rid of this guy. I need to get rid of this woman. Or it may be that you were actually living very happily with your pagan spouse and you became a Christian. And now there's all kinds of conflicts because now you don't want to do some of the things you used to do and your spouse is unhappy and there's certain tensions growing there. And you need to work through them. And the Lord is saying, His command is do not send them. And He doesn't just give the command. He tells us the reason for the command. There's reasons given. He mentions there's a sanctifying effect that a believing husband has on an unbelieving wife. And there is a sanctifying effect that a believing woman can have on an unbelieving man. Peter addresses something similar to this when he speaks of wives winning their husbands without a word. You see, there's a sanctifying effect. If a Christian is living the Christian life, there can be a sanctifying effect on a spouse, particularly a spouse in this category who wants to continue living with his believing or her believing spouse. And so the Lord's saying, you've got these tensions, you've got these problems in your relationship because of your two different world views. He's saying, as long as that unbelieving spouse is willing to live with you, work at it. Work at it. Finally, we see the second exception that's given in the scriptures for divorce. Or third, it would be the third point. There is another exception besides sexual impurity. Jesus allowed for divorce if there were sexual impurity, though it's not required. But it is allowed. And that other exception is in the case of a believer married to an unbeliever. And the unbeliever says, I don't want to have anything to do with your Christianity. I'm gone. Now there's something implicit in here that's very important for us to recognize. I think in the past I've given wrong pastoral counsel at times. And I know other pastors have given wrong counsel at times, and other believers have given wrong counsel to a Christian married to an unbeliever. And that counsel is almost of the nature that you do whatever is pleasing to your unbelieving spouse. They don't want you to go to church, don't go to church. They don't want you to do certain things that a Christian should do, like witnessing, don't do. You hear people saying things foolishly like that. Well, implicit in this statement here of the Lord is that the unbelieving spouse is willing to live with a practicing believer. Not a believer who has so checked all their Christian expression and obedience to their Lord that the unbeliever can't tell any difference. Now, you're not to deliberately offend so that they'll go away. And you know, this is implicit here as well. You're not to say, they're an unbeliever and they don't love my Lord, and I'll just do whatever I can to make them upset and they'll leave me. Well, that's very contrary to what he's saying here. He's saying if they're willing to stay, let them stay. There's a hope that they'll be one to Christ. Don't drive them away. But then, this exception is, if a believer wants to depart, let them depart. And there's three statements made after this. The first is that the believer is not bound. The believer is not bound in this case. It is possible to have a divorce when an unbeliever doesn't want to be married to an unbeliever, to a believer. Now, some people say, well, Jesus didn't allow for this. Keep in mind that Jesus was addressing a culture where they were covenant people. It was like he's talking to the church, and some of the people were wanting to be divorced. And he says, no, there's no other reason that believers can get a divorce except because one of them's committed adultery. And here, the Apostle Paul is addressing a different circumstance, pastorally, where Corinthians who are living in a non-Jewish community, in a pagan culture, and they find themselves married, for whatever reason, to an unbelieving spouse. And there is the exception here, and he's saying that the believer is not bound if the unbeliever leaves. That you're free. Now, some people teach you can't do that. That if your spouse leaves you, you're still married to them. That you can't remarry if your unbelieving spouse leaves. Well, let me speak pastorally to that. If you're sympathetic with what the Lord's teaching here, you will be a long time getting remarried when your unbelieving spouse leaves. Because they might have a change of heart. They might be brought back. There might be a reconciliation and a bringing them to Christ. But on the other hand, to say that the believer can never remarry is contrary to what's been said here. The Lord's Word says they are not bound. The brother or the sister is not bound. There is liberty. And we need to be careful within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that we say, you can get divorced. You can be separated because we got this legal separation kind of mindset going on. You can get divorced, but you can't get remarried. No, that's not what the Lord's saying. He's saying that they are not bound. Now, he also addresses the fact that children of a believing parent are in covenant with the Lord. See verse 14. He's saying that you might have the believing husband to sanctify the wife or the believing wife to sanctify their husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. He's saying that a believing wife or a believing husband married to an unbeliever still have children that are in covenant with God. They're still set apart unto the Lord. And there needs to be a concern. Do you not hear that same concern in our Old Testament passage that we read? When God is addressing the divorce that's going on in the days of Malachi, He says that there would be a problem. What was that problem there? What's the address there? He says, verse 15, Malachi 2:15. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. See, God has a concern for holy children. For another generation will be raised up to love and to fear the Lord. And a lot of people who are very quick to make sure they get unbound for whatever reason from their spouse. And they, oh, he's an unbeliever, she's an unbeliever. God is saying He's concerned that the marriage relationship be sustained as much as possible for the sake that there be produced godly children, holy children who know the Lord. Then there we see, as we look again to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we see the final phrase of verse 15, but God has called us to peace, when he says we're not no longer in bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. See, not only does he say the believer is not bound, but he says the reason is God has called us to live at peace with all men as much as is possible. And if it's not possible, if the unbeliever wants to go, Have you done everything you can to sustain the relationship? And they want to go. They're to be let go. God's purpose is peace, not misery. And see, a lot of times that's where we foolish fall into Christians getting divorces. But I'm so miserable. I'm so happy. I don't have any peace. There's always this conflict going on all the time. But the real issue is the Christian pursuing peace. Or is the Christian pursuing contention? And this allowance, when an unbeliever says, I've had it, I'm gone, I don't want to have anything with your Lord to do with your Lord, and your Christian faith, God's saying, at that point, you're free. He intends to grant this to you as a means of peace. And then there's the last statement, which deals with this exception of the believer departing. In verse 16, he says, for how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? The statement is, we don't know what God will do. We do not know what God will do. You can't save your spouse. You can't save your children. You can't save anybody else, but you can be instrumental in seeking to bring them to the Lord. And there's two possible ways this verse could be taken. Commentators differ on this. Perhaps both of them are true. Well, I know both of them could be true. One way it could be taken is that the believer is to let the departing unbeliever go because there is no assurance that he or she will ever come to faith. You hear it? No, he's saying you're not bound. Or how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how will you know, O husband, whether you'll save your wife? But there's another way of taking it. It's the way Calvin prefers. I think there's much to commend it. He takes it as more of a final encouragement in this area of marital conflict for why a believer should continue in his or her marriage. It's by way of encouragement, trusting that God is able to bring them to Himself. And you read it in that light of understanding. How do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? How do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? It's not that, how do you know, like, oh, is it really a pipe dream? But rather, it's, how do you know? You might, indeed, be used of the Lord to bring them to Him, that they might be united with you in a common faith and a common love for your Lord. But some of this may seem tedious in ways to us, but what is God trying to say? He's saying He cares about such an issue as this. And He's clearly trying in very practical terms to address a situation where believers are just fighting all the time and are wanting to seek a divorce. And He says, don't do it. And then He's addressing, well, yeah, but you're in a marriage with someone who's not a believer. Well, you know, sometimes believers act like unbelievers and even say things as if it sounds like they're unbelievers. And God is saying, you know, don't call it quits on the marriage. He says, I hate divorce. I hate covenant breaking. Pursue your marriage with the same kind of zeal that God pursues His bride. If we had that kind of attitude, we may misunderstand some of the fine points of what God's trying to teach us. But ultimately, we will be found to be pleasing to our Lord. And it's so desperately needed that we as believers have these attitudes, whether we're already in marriage or whether we're thinking about marriage or whether marriage is another 15 or 20 years down the road. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to have a sound understanding of this. Because the reality of it is, unless the Lord brings a revival soon, even our youngest children will be struggling with these same issues. In a society that hates marriage, that hates children, that hates biblical standards for family relationships. Beloved, we need to understand these things and share these things with others. May God grant us grace to hold on and to dig deeper and ask questions. You know, someday, it's very likely, particularly younger couples, that one of your friends who's got married is going to say, "We're fighting all the time. You know, don't you think we should get a divorce?" What are you going to say to them? What would God say? Shall we stand for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to come and to take what you've shared in your word and enable us to run further with it. Lord, to not be those who would simply say, "How much must I?" but those who Lord, are seeking to know the breadth of your love and Lord, to prove what is the will of God, what is that which is good and perfect and acceptable with you, Lord. That we might conduct ourselves in a sanctified manner in this world. Lord, grant grace to us now in applying your word. We ask in Jesus' name.